Everyone is most fallen. So one has to simply be sincere and serious. Then he can take to Krishna consciousness and get the mercy. So let's continue now with the study of this preface. Lord Chaitanya's principle is universal. Anyone who knows the science of Krishna and is engaged in the service of the Lord is accepted as being in a higher position than a person born in the family of a Brahmana. That is because the idea is, being a Brahmana, that's material, that's on the material platform. But when you're engaged in the service of Krishna, that's the spiritual platform. So on the spiritual platform, it doesn't matter, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Shudra, as it was just mentioned, Haridas Thakur is coming from a Mohammedan family, less than Shudra. But because he's engaged in the service of the Lord, he's more than a Brahmana. So that's the idea. That is the original principle accepted by all Vedic literatures, especially by Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. The principle of Lord Chaitanya's movement in educating and elevating everyone to the exalted post of a Goswami is taught in the nectar of devotion. Lord Chaitanya met the two brothers, Dabir Khas and Sakura Malik, in a village known as Ramakeli in the district of Malda. And after that meeting, the brothers decided to retire from government service and join Lord Chaitanya. Dabir Khas, who was later to become Rupa Goswami, retired from his post and collected all the money he had accumulated during his service. It is described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that his accumulated savings in gold coins equaled millions of dollars and filled a large boat. He divided the money in a very exemplary manner, which should be followed by devotees in particular and humanity in general. 50% of his accumulated wealth was distributed to the Krishna conscious persons, namely the Brahmins and the Vaishnavas. 25% was distributed to relatives, and 25% was kept against emergency expenditures and personal difficulties. Later on, when Sakura Malik also proposed to retire, the Nawab was very much agitated and put him into jail. But Sakura Malik, who was later to become Srila Sanatan Goswami, took advantage of his brother's personal money, which had been deposited with a village banker, and escaped from the prison of Hussein Shah. In this way, both brothers joined Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that story of how Sanatan was arrested and how he escaped, that's a very, very exciting story, and it's found in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and it's also in Prabhupada's book, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, but it is mostly explained nicely, fully, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, how Sanatan was arrested and how he escaped. It's a very nice section. And I see that Mark, my web master, has come online. Haribol, Mark, glad to see you. Glad you can make it. Very good. And we'll continue now. And Sakshi, that was very good. What you did, you put it, the link online. You are a very, very, very good secretary, Sakshi. That's why you're my Santiago secretary. Very efficient. All right, let's continue. Rupa Goswami first met Lord Chaitanya at Prayag, Allahabad, India, and on the Dashashvamedha bathing ghat of the holy city, the Lord instructed him continually for 10 days. The Lord particularly instructed Rupa Goswami on the science of Krishna consciousness. And that is a term you see Prabhupada uses over and over, the science of Krishna consciousness. We should never think that Krishna consciousness is simply some sentimental movement. No, it is a science. Science means that if you follow the procedures as they are given, you will get the result. If you follow the Bhagavad Gita, you follow the Srimad Bhagavatam, if you do exactly as these shastras say, then you will get the result. Just like in any scientific experiment, if you follow the procedure, just like Nandini Radha, she's online, she works in the biochemical field. And so she knows very well all kinds of formulas, scientific formulas. So in the same way, if you follow Krishna's scientific formulas of how to become a devotee, you'll become a devotee. Let's continue. The Lord particularly instructed Rupa Goswami on the science of Krishna consciousness. These teachings of Lord Chaitanya to Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada are narrated in our book, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. So, for those of you who don't know, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, like this Nectar of Devotion, is a summary study. It is a summary study of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Just like, if you know, Prabhupada has another book, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's a summary study of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. These are special books that Prabhupada wrote for his disciples and followers. So this Nectar of Devotion, this is a special book just for those who are sincere and serious followers of Srila Prabhupada in the past and at present and for the future. Later, Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada elaborated the teachings of the Lord with profound knowledge of revealed scriptures and authoritative references from various Vedic literatures. I was speaking on this last night in my Bhagavad Gita class in New Dwarka. That's exactly the service that Lord Chaitanya gave Rupa and Sanatana. He told them everything, and then he said, now you go find the references as they are given in the Shastras. Srinivas Acharya describes in his prayers to the six Goswamis that they were all highly learned scholars, not only in Sanskrit, but also in foreign languages such as Persian and Arabic. They very scrutinizingly studied all the Vedic scriptures in order to establish the cult of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on the authorized principles of Vedic knowledge. So that was the shloka that we sang at the beginning. What Prabhupada there, he's giving you a synopsis of that prayer that we sang at the beginning. The present Krishna consciousness movement is also based on the authority of Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada. In case you're wondering, what does the word Prabhupada mean? It has several meanings. The meaning that I always remember, Prabhu means master. So anyone who is a devotee, you address him as Prabhuji, your master. But there may be one person under whom so many other Prabhus have taken shelter. So Prabhupada, that person by which so many other Prabhus, they are situated at his feet. So Rupa Goswami, Prabhupada, and we have our own A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. We are therefore generally known as Rupanugas, are followers in the footsteps of Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada. So now you know another name for us. We're all Rupanugas. We are followers of Rupa Goswami. It is only for our guidance that Srila Rupa Goswami prepared his book Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which is now presented in the form of the Nectar of Devotion. Persons engaged in the Krishna consciousness movement may take advantage of this great literature and be very solidly situated in Krishna consciousness. So this is a very important sentence right here. You're all of you, at whatever level you're there, beginner, old-timer, doesn't matter. You're all engaged in the Krishna consciousness movement. Now, here's the key. Take advantage of this great literature and be very solidly situated. This reminds me how important it is to study Srila Prabhupada's books. A word that I use so often in my preaching, prachodayat. Prachodayat. It's a word that appears in the Gayatri mantras that we chant in ISKCON. When you get Brahminical initiation, you get 7 Gayatri mantras. So this word prachodayat, which means to become enthused, to become enlivened. So to be solidly situated. So by reading Prabhupada's books, you're going to get enthused. That's the whole reason we study these books. We want to get enthused. And when we become enthused, then we want to give it to others. Nobody becomes a preacher unless they're enthused. So in order to preach, you yourself must become enlivened. And once you're enlivened, then you want to give it to others. So now, Prabhupada has just set up the scene. So now he's going to shift to the next topic. Bhakti means devotional service. Every service has some attractive feature which drives the servitor progressively on and on. Every one of us within this world is perpetually engaged in some sort of service, and the impetus for such service is the pleasure we derive from it. This section is such a nice section. I remember reading this when I was first coming to Krishna consciousness. This particular section, if you can actually grasp this, you will really understand what is Krishna consciousness. First point, Prabhupada says, bhakti means devotional service. So he's giving you a scientific definition. Let's continue. Driven by affection for his wife and children, a family man works day and night. A philanthropist works in the same way for love of the greater family, and a nationalist for the cause of his country and countrymen. That force which drives the philanthropist, the householder, and the nationalist is called rasa, or a kind of mellow relationship whose taste is very sweet. So based on this section here, I wrote a song a long time ago called Learnt Labor of Love. Someday I'll sing that in one of my concerts. I'll sing that song, and it's all based on what we are studying right now. To repeat, that force which drives the philanthropist, the householder, and the nationalist is called rasa, or a kind of mellow relationship whose taste is very sweet. Bhakti ras is a mellow different from the ordinary ras enjoyed by mundane workers. Mundane workers labor very hard day and night in order to relish a certain kind of rasa, which is understood as sense gratification. the relish or taste of the mundane rasa does not long endure, and therefore mundane workers are always apt to change their position of enjoyment. This brings into mind a line from a song, Chapala Sukha Labha Lagire, that the material rasa of sense gratification is very flickering. It does not stand. We learn from the Bhagavad Gita that there is happiness in the mode of ignorance, happiness in the mode of passion, and happiness in the mode of goodness. But regardless, they're all limited and temporary. So it is called chapala, flickering. It doesn't stand. A businessman is not satisfied by working the whole week. Therefore, wanting a change for the weekend, he goes to a place where he tries to forget his business activities. Then, after the weekend is spent in forgetfulness, he again changes his position and resumes his actual business activities. Material engagement means accepting a particular status for some time and then changing it. This position of changing back and forth is technically known as bhoga tyaga, which means a position of alternating sense enjoyment and renunciation. A living entity cannot steadily remain either in sense enjoyment or in renunciation. Change is going on perpetually, and we cannot be happy in either state because of our eternal constitutional position. And just in case you may not know, our eternal constitutional position is servant. That is what we are. And we have two choices of service. We can either serve Krishna through devotional service, or we can serve Maya through sense gratification. Those are the only two choices. But servant, that is what we are. That's why I always sing that song. You gotta serve somebody. Because that is true. Doesn't matter who you are. You're only a servant. So the question is, who are you gonna serve? We, because we're all in the Krishna consciousness movement, we have decided to serve Krishna and no longer serve Maya. We continue. Sense gratification does not long endure for long, and therefore it is called chapala sukha, or flickering happiness. For example, an ordinary family man who works very hard day and night and is successful in giving comforts to the members of the family relishes a kind of mellow, but his whole advancement of material happiness immediately terminates along with his body as soon as his life is over. That's why you hear me say many times in my lectures, life is but a dream. The day will come when all these material plans and material schemes and all these material situations, one day they'll all be gone and you'll see, oh, it was just a dream. That's all. Death is therefore taken as the representative of God for the atheistic class of men. In the Bhagavad Gita, we see that Krishna says, Mrityu sarva haras chaham. I come as death. So yes, the atheist does not believe in God, but God says, okay, now I'm coming as death. Now you will accept me. So the question is, everyone has to deal with Krishna, so which one do you want? Do you want Krishna, beautiful Krishna, or do you want to meet the horrible face of death? The example is given, the cat. When the cat carries its kittens, The cat carries the kittens in its mouth. But because the kittens know that the cat is their mother, they feel very safe and secure in the cat's mouth. But if you're a rat and you are swallowed by the mouth of that same cat, because you're a rat, that means death. So if you're not a devotee, then you're a rat and you'll be swallowed. But if you're a devotee, then Krishna will come and pick you up and save you. The devotee realizes the presence of God by devotional service, whereas the atheist realizes the presence of God in the shape of death. Yes, Prabhupada said here, the devotee realizes the presence of God by devotional service. That means the more you do devotional service, more and more you will perceive the presence of Krishna. Just like Sakshi on Tuesday asked the question of my wife, how do you know you're advancing? And Varuni Devi Dasi said that you'll start to see Krishna more and more in your life. You'll see how Krishna is working. So that's the same thing. You will realize the presence of God through your devotional service. Just like when I started preaching in Panama back in 1999, occasionally I would sing my song, Festival of the Chariots. After a few years, or at some point, I predicted that the devotees there in Panama would do Rath Yatra. And sure enough, they took that prediction, they took that song, and they started to do Rath Yatra. And every one of them, all the devotees that are involved in organizing that Rath Yatra, year after year, they have realized this point, that when they put all their heart and soul in putting on that Rath Yatra, they actually perceive the presence of Jagannath in that intense labor to put on Rath Yatra. The devotee realizes the presence of God by devotional service, whereas the atheist realizes the presence of God in the shape of death. At death, everything is finished, and one has to begin a new chapter of life in a new situation, perhaps higher or lower than the last one. In any field of activity, political, social, national, or international, the results of our actions will be finished with the end of life. That is sure. Bhakti Ras, however, the mellow relished in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, does not finish with the end of life. It continues perpetually and is therefore called Amrita, that which does not die but exists eternally. This is confirmed in all Vedic literatures. Bhagavad Gita says that a little advancement in bhakti ras can save the devotee from the greatest danger, that of missing the opportunity for human life. So the Bhagavad Gita verse that Prabhupada is referring to is found in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Nehabi krama nashyasti pratyavayo navidyate svapam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bayat. I'll answer questions in a little while. Let's finish this section and then I'll answer any questions we have. So that's the verse Prabhupada was referring to. The rasas derived from our feelings in social life, in family life, or in the greater family life of altruism, philanthropy, nationalism, socialism, communism, etc., do not guarantee one's next life will be as a human being. We prepare our next life by our actual activities in the present life. A living entity is offered a particular type of body as the result of his action in the present body. These activities are taken into account by a superior authority known as Daiva, or the authority of God. This Daiva is explained in Bhagavad Gita as the prime cause of everything. Yes, we were discussing this last night in my New Dwarka Bhagavad Gita class, that there are five causes or five factors in the accomplishment of any action. But it was pointed out that ultimately the real fifth factor, the one that really matters, is this Daiva, or providence, or the hand of God, the sanction of Supersoul. And in Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated that a man takes his next body by Daiva Netrena. That's in the third canto, when Lord Kapila is instructing his mother about the child in the womb. That's where this verse comes from, Daiva Netrena, which means by the supervision of the authority of the Supreme. In an ordinary sense, Daiva is explained as destiny. Daiva supervision gives us a body selected from 8,400,000 forms. The choice does not depend on our selection, but is awarded to us according to our destiny. If our body at present, so this is an important sentence here. This is very important. If our body at present is engaged in the activities of Krishna consciousness, then it is guaranteed that we will have at least a human body in our next life. A human being engaged in Krishna consciousness, even if unable to complete the course of bhakti yoga, takes birth in the higher divisions of human society so that he can automatically further his advancement in Krishna consciousness. Here, Prabhupada is referring also to statements in the sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada doesn't just say things, although he's not giving you the exact reference. That is actually what is stated in the sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita towards the end. A human being engaged in Krishna consciousness, even if unable to complete the course of bhakti yoga, takes birth in the higher divisions of human society so that he can automatically further his advancement in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, all bona fide activities in Krishna consciousness are amrita, or permanent. This is the subject matter of the nectar of devotion. So Prabhupada has just given you a very nice setup. He's showing you, teaching you. At this point, I want to take a little break and do some quick bhajan. So hold on, and we'll do a quick bhajan. Okay, let's chant a lot. And after this short bhajan, I'll answer Nandini Radha's nice question. Hari Bol Sri Lalita, nice to see you. So let's do a short bhajan.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari.
Now you sing.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari.
Let's do it again. I sing, then you sing.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Bijana Vallabha Girivaradhari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivaradhari Yashoda Nandana Raja Janaranjana Yashoda Nandana Raja Janaranjana Yamuna Tira Vannachari Yamuna Tira Vannachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivaradhari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivaradhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yamuna Tira Vannachari Yamuna Tira Vannachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivaradhari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivaradhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yamuna Tira Vannachari Yamuna Tira Vannachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari
So, Nandini Radha is asking a question here, that if the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the highest for this age, then why are we given a second mantra, the Gayatri? This is a very good question. Thank you for asking. And here is the answer that Prabhupada gives. It is true that if you can chant the Hare Krishna Mantra without offense, then you have achieved perfection. But the problem is that we are not chanting the Maha Mantra without offense. And the reason we're not chanting the Maha Mantra without offense is because we have many, 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 many bad habits which we have accrued through millions and millions of lifetimes here in this material world. So the point is that we want to quickly come to the purified stage. Your question can also be answered. Why do we chant the Panchatattva Mantra? That's for the same reason. That when we chant Hare Krishna, generally we chant with offense. As long as we're making 1, 2, up to 10 kinds of offenses, then we cannot chant Hare Krishna and actually perceive Krishna. We won't taste Krishna. So we chant the Panchatattva mantra first in order to become quickly cleansed of offenses. And the same way, this whole second initiation is to get us more quickly purified. The whole idea of second initiation is to get us to the Brahminical, Vaishnava Brahminical platform. The Vaishnava Brahminical platform is the platform of cleanliness. And this Vaishnava Brahminical platform means that we are becoming more and more freed from what is called anarthas. Anarthas are the unwanted things in our psychophysical being. Unwanted bad habits. And we've got tons of them. We have tons of these bad habits. So to quickly become free from these bad habits, then the rules and regulations of deity worship are instituted. When you get second initiation, that means now you are going to follow more rules and regulations. Now you are going to follow more regulative principles. In fact, later on in this nectar of devotion, we're going to see that actually there's not just four regulative principles, there are 64 regulative principles. So all of this is to get us to the clean Brahminical platform as soon as possible. That's why we have deity worship, because we have so many bad habits. So now she says, then we can commit offense while chanting the Gayatri Mantra. And if yes, is there a third mantra? Yes. Panchatattva Mahamantra. That's the antidote. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vas Adi Gora Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. And one more thing, Nandini Radha, one more thing to keep in mind. If you are chanting under the instruction of your spiritual master, then you are nicely situated. So just always chant and be a devotee under the guidance of the spiritual master, and eventually you will come to the pure platform. And yes, I don't know if you were here at the beginning. Yes, you must have, because why did you bring up Gayatri? I mentioned that this word prachodayat, so in two of the mantras, yes, you're right, panchatattva, yes, they don't accept any offenses, yes, wow. Yes, but in terms of the Gayatri mantras, you get seven of them. So in two of them, the one to the spiritual master and the one to Lord Chaitanya, you'll find this word prachodayat. You become enthused. When you get your Brahman initiation, you have to chant your Gayatri mantras morning, noon, and evening. So you will come across this word. I will briefly explain. The first Gayatri mantra is the mantra that is worshipping Krishna in the sun, the Savitri Gayatri mantra. That's the first. Then the second and third mantras, you are meditating on the spiritual master, and that word prachodayat comes in, that you will be enthused by the spiritual master. Then the next two are mantras which glorify Lord Chaitanya, and again that word prachodayat comes in, that you will be enthused by following Lord Chaitanya. Then the final two Gayatri mantras are very, very special mantras having to do with Krishna. One of those mantras is the mantra that Lord Brahma chanted in order to create the universe. Very powerful mantra. Okay? And then the final Gayatri mantra is, if you chant it perfectly, you will get Krishna. So these Gayatri mantras, they are expansions of this Hare Krishna, especially those last two. right? Because these final two mantras, they are none different from the Hare Krishna mantra. So yes, stay under the shelter of your spiritual master, and then, yes, chant the Panchatattva mantra, okay? So let's go back now. Okay, wait 1 second. I have to stop the recording for a second, so just hold on, boys and girls, and then we'll go back to our reading of the Nectar of Devotion. I hope you are enjoying this class as much as I am. And Hari Bol, just give me a second here, because I have to make sure that this gets recorded properly. Okay. I'm glad you liked it, Nandini Radha. Because you're such a good devotee, you're not hard to please. It is very easy to preach to devotees who are sincere and serious. The hardest preaching is to preach to those who are not sincere and serious. That is difficult. You want this every day? Well, we'll see what Krishna does every day. We'll see what we can do about that. I'm sure Krishna will fulfill your desire. So I'll see about that. Let's go back to Nectar of Devotion. This eternal engagement in Bhakti Ras can be understood by a serious student upon studying the Nectar of Devotion. So here you go. I've been saying this so many times, and here Prabhupada confirms it. Serious student, that's all you have to ask yourself. Am I a serious student? That's what you have to ask yourself. Adoption of Bhakti Ras, or Krishna consciousness, will immediately bring one to an auspicious life free from anxieties and will bless one with transcendental existence, thus minimizing the value of liberation. So this paragraph here is going to be explained further in chapter 1, the six characteristics of pure devotional service. Prabhupada is giving you a hint, a peek, a preview of what's going to be in chapter 1. Here it is. Adoption of Bhakti Ras will, number 1, immediately bring one to an auspicious life. Just like Lord Chaitanya says in First Shikshastakam, Shreya Kairava Chandrika Vitaranam Vidyavadhu Jivanam. Alright? Same idea. And will bless one with transcendental existence instead of material existence, thus minimizing the value of liberation. The reason why people want liberation is because they're suffering in the material world. The first Gurvastakam prayer, Sangsara Davana Lida Loka, Tranaya Karunya Gana, everyone is suffering. Our Lord Chaitanya says, Baba Mahadavagni Nirvapanam. Everyone is burning from the blazing fire of material existence. But if you're in Bhakti Ras, instead of sense gratification, if you're in Bhakti Ras, you're liberated. You don't need liberated because you're in transcendental existence. Bhakti Ras itself is sufficient to produce a feeling of liberation because it attracts the attention of the Supreme Lord Krishna. Generally, neophyte devotees are anxious to see Krishna or God, but God cannot be seen or known by our present materially blunt senses. Here, Prabhupada is going to explain something that Lord Chaitanya himself taught in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that by your gross material senses, you'll not see God. But by your purified bhakti senses, that's how. Same thing is said in Bhagavad Gita at least 3 times. Krishna says, you want to see me? Bhakti. Krishna says, you want to know me? Bhakti. Krishna says, you want to understand me? Bhakti. There's no alternative here. I've studied Bhagavad Gita so many times. It doesn't change. Every time I read it, it's the same thing. Bhakti, bhakti, bhakti. That's it. No other way. The process of devotional service, as it is recommended in the Nectar of Devotion, will gradually elevate one from the material condition of life to the spiritual status, wherein the devotee becomes purified of all designations. Yes, Prabhupada here is defining bhakti as it is found in the Nectar, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, quoted by Lord Chaitanya, who is actually quoting Narada Muni, that bhakti means to become free from designations. Those designations is the dualities of material existence. Man, woman, good, bad, left, right, liberal, conservative, young, old, black, white, all these bodily designations, they're all ephemeral. As we started out in the beginning, we are simply the eternal servant of Krishna. That's all. So once you see yourself as the eternal servant of Krishna, there's no more designations. When the purified senses are employed in the service of the Lord, one becomes situated in bhakti ras life, and any action performed for the satisfaction of Krishna in this transcendental bhakti ras stage of life can be relished perpetually. When one is thus engaged in devotional service, all varieties of rasas or mellows turn into eternity. In the beginning, one is trained according to the principles of regulation under the guidance of the acharya or spiritual master, and gradually, when one is elevated, devotional service becomes automatic and spontaneous eagerness to serve Krishna. So this will be explained in detail later on in Nectar of Devotion. First, you have to be trained and regulated by the spiritual master. Then gradually, you don't have to be told. Automatically, you want to use your senses to serve Krishna. In the beginning, you have to be forced, you have to be told, reprimanded, scolded, so many things the spiritual master does. But once you actually get a taste for bhakti, for devotional service, once you get a taste, then nobody needs to tell you. You automatically want to do it because you like to do it. There are 12 kinds of rasas, as will be explained in this book. And by renovating our relationship with Krishna in 5 primary rasas, we can live eternally in full knowledge and bliss. I see we have a new message here. Hold on. I can't seem to find out who it is. It says one new. I can't find it. Who is it from? Hare Krishna. Oh, there it is. It's Lakshman. Yes, Lakshman also says, wish you could give every day one class. Well, that's the second person, so I'll have to see about that, boys and girls. All right, let's continue. The basic principle of the living condition is that we have a general propensity to love someone. No one can live without loving someone else. This propensity is present in every living being. Even an animal like a tiger has this loving propensity, at least in a dormant stage, and it is certainly present in the human beings. Now this paragraph is something that really touches me. When I first read this back in 1973 is when I first came upon this. This really hit me hard. When I was visiting my father last weekend, after all these years, he never asked, but finally, after all these years, my father is on the verge of his 90th birthday. So finally, after all these years, my father asked me, why did I join the Krishna consciousness movement? He never asked me. So finally, I got to tell him my story. So I told him exactly. And one of the things I told him was that when I read these books, especially something that we're reading right now, this particular paragraph, I told him that this actually was what I have been looking for all my life. And when I read these books, I told him, it really touched me. It really changed me. That's how powerful Prabhupada's books are. So this particular section to me is very, very significant because it really touches my heart. The basic principle of the living condition is that we have a general propensity to love someone. No one can live without loving someone else. This propensity is present in every living being. Even an animal like a tiger has this loving propensity, at least in a dormant stage, and it is certainly present in the human beings. The missing point, however, is where to repose our love so that everyone can become happy. There it is. That is the sentence. At the present moment, the human society teaches one to love his country or family or his personal self, but there is no information where to repose the loving propensity so that everyone can become happy. That missing point is Krishna, and the nectar of devotion teaches us how to stimulate our original love for Krishna and how to be situated in that position where we can enjoy our blissful life. This one paragraph, on this one paragraph, you can preach to anyone. Doesn't matter their religion, doesn't matter who they are, where they are. This one paragraph is the essence of what is Krishna consciousness. The missing point is Krishna, and the nectar of devotion teaches us how to stimulate our original love for Krishna and how to be situated in that position where we can enjoy our blissful life. In the primary stage, a child loves his parents, then his brothers and sisters, and as he daily grows up, he begins to love his family, society, community, country, nation, or even the whole human society. But the loving propensity is not satisfied even by loving all human society. The loving propensity remains imperfectly fulfilled until we know who is the supreme beloved. Our love can be fully satisfied only when it is reposed in Krishna. There is another big sentence. We see, and it's been my own experience, and in doing so many counseling sessions with wives and husbands, that here is the real solution. Our love can be fully satisfied only when it is reposed in Krishna. This is Krishna consciousness. This is it. Prabhupada is pointing us, just love Krishna. This theme is the sum and substance of the nectar of devotion, which teaches us how to love Krishna in five different transcendental mellows. So I'm going to stop here, and we'll continue this in 2 weeks, because next week I'll be in Panama and we won't be able, but I'll resume this. So we now have 2 weekly webcasts, one on Tuesday, which is the music concert, and one on Thursday, and I'll try to see if I can add a third day. Okay? Since you all seem to like it so much, I'll try to figure out a third day when we can do. But we'll stop here for now. And Mark says that he will have this lecture up on my website. That's Mark. Mark, you're the best. See how efficient he is. So that means he has recorded this, and he's going to put it up on the website. Very good, Mark. Excellent. So I'm going to now do one more bhajan, and then we'll see if there's any questions. And then I have lots of other service that I have to take care of because I'm leaving on Monday. So, let's do a bhajan. And I'll do this for all of you who came online today. Let's do Nisringa prayers. Namaste Narasinghaya. Namaste Narasinghaya. Prahlad Halad Dayane. Prahlad Halad Dayane. Hiranya Kashipura Vakshaha. Hiranya Kashipura Vakshaha. Shilatanga Nakalayi. Latanka nakalaye. Ito Nrsingha padato Nrsingha. Ito Nrsingha padato Nrsingha. Yato yato yamitato Nrsingha. Yato yato yamitato Nrsingha. Bahi Nrsingha hridaye Nrsingha. Bahi Nrsingha hridaye Nrsingha. Nrsingham madim sharanam prapadye. Nrsingham madim sharanam prapadye. Nrsingham madin sharanam prapaji. Chavakara kamalavare nakam adbhuta shringam. Dalita hiranyakashipu tanubringam. Keshavadvita Narahari Rupa Jai Jagadisha Hare. Jai Jagadisha Hare. Jai Jagadisha Hare. Chavakara Kamalavare Nakam Adbhuta Shringam. Dalita Hiranyakashipu
Tanubringam Keshavadvita Narahari Rupa Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadish Jaya Jagadish Jaya Jagadisha Hare Keshavadvita Narahari Rupa Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
So tomorrow night at 7 o'clock Los Angeles time, there'll be another webcast. Hare Krishna Divya Ratna, Hari Bol, Hare Krishna Divya Ratna. Tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, you'll get an email either tonight or early tomorrow about tomorrow night's webcast at 7 o'clock Los Angeles time. And then Saturday, there'll be another webcast at 6 o'clock Los Angeles time. So you have two more webcasts, and I'll meditate on how to do a third webcast. Maybe we can do one on Mondays. We'll see. I have to take a look. All right, so that's it for now. Unless anyone has a question, I'll wait a few minutes. If there are no questions, then I guess it's time to sign off. Yes, all glories to the devotees. Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyayevacha Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Hari Bol Shamagori Hari Bol to all my friends and students on the internet Mark Nandini Radha Sri Lalita Divya Ratna Bhima Sakshi Gopal Krishna Mai and also Sunil. Oh, we have another person, Bhakti D.D. Who is Bhakti D.D.? I don't know who you are, Bhakti D.D., but whoever you are, I hope you like the class, Bhakti D.D. Hope you can all come tomorrow night, although it's a little late for you on the East Coast and in Santiago. It'll be 7 o'clock in the evening. Okay, I guess there's no questions. Thank you very much, Prabhus. And next week I'll meditate to see how we can do a third class on Monday. I'll have to think about that. All right, thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Tavakara Kamala Vare Adbhuta Singham.
You're all very welcome. So